You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, and sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about most. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, if acting a little strange these days could get you burned at the stake, I think we'd run out of stakes. We'll talk Salem witch trials with an expert. And why not let your kids just light a fire and teach them a valuable lesson? Irresponsible? We talk with a mom who thinks it's just fine. Let's meet the friends. Frying up some good stories, it's Aaron Myers.
Yeah, thieves are probably a little upset after they steal a truck full of this baking good product. I'll tell you what it is.
The news is flowing like a fountain from Jay Campadonia.
California is in the middle of a terrible drought, and one lake is drying up, but you'll never guess what they found.
And we're buying what he's selling. Chris Martin is here.
Phil, one of the world's richest billionaires just bought a huge chunk of the island of Kauai as their own personal getaway. I'll have details.
Yeah, nice to have a boatload of money, isn't it?
Sure is.
That's why we do this.
I mean, I wouldn't know, but...
let's check out our accountant. What's our balance? We have a bank balance?
Zero.
We don't have an account?
Point zero.
We don't have a bank account. That's surprising.
In the works.
Okay, very good. Aaron, so great to see you once again. Aaron's here, and Jay, and Chris, and I'm Phil, and we've met, haven't we? Good. This truck full of a baking good, we talking, what, biscuits?
No, something you probably don't really need and probably aren't going to be able to sell or do anything with. It's Crisco. Yeah. Yes, used for frying.
I can't cook without it.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I don't cook at all, so, you know, this would do nothing for me. But it's used for frying and making baked goods. Well, I guess in St. Petersburg, Florida, a truck carrying 18 tons of Crisco headed to a grocery store was stolen on Sunday morning. They actually stole the entire truck.
Wow.
So it was a red Volvo with a Florida tag and had the business on the side, NS Express LLC. So
a Volvo
still
truck.
Found the truck yet, yeah. Or the Crisco.
What if there's a black market for Crisco?
Well, that's what I was going to say. You're in the South. You know, you're in Florida. You're not too far from like Atlanta, where they use a lot of it.
Frying up chicken.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, so that's, you just go over there and like, hey, dude, I'll make you a deal on what? How many tons?
18 tons of Crisco.
Yeah, give me $1,000 and you can have it all.
Plus, you know, they load that stuff into at nightclubs, they load that stuff into a big cannon, you know, when they're having those electronic dance music parties, you know, and they just start shooting it out into the crowd and everybody gets all slippery and they're dancing around.
What parties are you going to? Nightclubs?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. This is just what I hear.
And please invite me.
Crisco parties?
Oh, boy. I've never heard that.
No?
No.
It's all the rage.
Yeah, everybody starts wrestling in it.
Crazy kids.
Great. Okay, I've heard of mud wrestling, but Crisco wrestling, that's a new one
for me. It does sound annoying. But you got to be careful. Sometimes people go over the edge when they get annoyed, Aaron.
Yeah, they do. Apparently, a 42-year-old Italian nurse has been arrested and is suspected of killing at least 38 of her patients because either they annoyed her or their family members did. Police say a coworker also said the nurse...
She killed 38 people, and I'm laughing.
I know.
Stop
it's
it.
Bad, right?
Stop.
Because they were annoying. You don't do that. I mean... Nobody would be alive if people were annoying and you killed them for it. So, yeah, I guess a coworker said that she even was not good to her coworkers. She would give patients laxatives at the end of her shift, so it would be harder for them to deal with these patients.
Yeah.
And apparently there are photos of this nurse with her thumbs up next to a patient that had just died. And she's saying it's a conspiracy, but
this
38
is,
patients,
this
that's a lot.
This is a loopy lady, and she did. You know what I suspect happened? She went over the edge after the 5 millionth time somebody said, how in the world are you a nurse? You have no patience.
Right, exactly.
She doesn't have any
and
patience.
And she said, I'll show you no patience.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Over the edge.
A little frightening.
It is. Something else is frightening. What lurks in the deep sea.
Yes, especially if you're with Greenpeace. In the Bering Sea, a pair of Greenpeace submariners were in a deep diver, and it was attacked by these two Humboldt squids, which they're nicknamed Jumbo Squid or the Red Devil, so they're not the huge, huge, gigantic squids. They're about 6 feet, but they're very aggressive.
So they're not the Captain Nemo kind of squid that could take down a whole ship.
But these ones are aggressive when they're in hunting mode, and there's actually a video online, and it can be seen on Vine of their experience. And it's a little frightening, not something you... Good thing you're in a submarine.
The squid wasn't making a political statement about eco-terrorism or anything like that, right?
You never know.
No? Okay. All right. Jay, Good to see you, buddy.
I appreciate that, Phil. Thank you.
You ever go fishing at Castaic?
I have never gone fishing at Castaic, but I have gone water skiing up there. It's a beautiful lake, beautiful town in the middle of, you know, just outside of Los Angeles, maybe an hour or two. And this guy goes out there and he's fishing out there. I think they fish trout and like catfish and things like that in there, right?
Yeah.
And he notices a backpack kind of on the shore. Now, California is in the middle of a terrible, terrible drought, the worst drought in years. And the lake is actually drying up. They approximate that it's dropped by roughly 150 feet. That's a lot of
that's a lot
of water.
Because if you think about 150 feet, how deep is the lake?
Yeah. Well, it's
180?
Yeah, maybe. Tops. Tops.
There's not much lake left.
So been reduced to a puddle.
Right. There's more shoreline visible. Well, a guy's out there fishing, and he says, oh, look at that. There's a backpack over there. Maybe another fisherman left it. So he goes, and he opens the backpack. A gun falls out.
Oh.
And then a wallet falls out.
Uh-oh.
He opens the wallet, and it turns out there's a badge inside. So he does the right thing, and he turns it into the authorities. Turns out that it belonged to an unnamed, because they don't want to completely ridicule the guy, an ATF agent.
Oh.
And it was in his backpack when he was fishing on the lake over two decades ago.
Wow.
So the boat sank.
Yeah.
He bailed, swam to shore, and it just turned up because of the drought and the water loss on the lake.
How about that? So he found a firearm. Did he find any alcohol or tobacco?
No.
No?
No. In the backpack, there was a watch, there was a class ring, there was a badge, there was a gun, there was a wallet stuff.
Why was there a class ring in the backpack?
I don't know. You know, guys wear their class rings if they graduate from college.
Yeah, but you take
whatever.
It off to go fishing when you're on a top secret ATF fishing expedition?
I don't think it was a top secret ATF expedition. If I had to guess, it was a beer drinking mission and the guy just had his bag there and it was like...
The boat sank, so something went wrong. Yeah.
I don't get taking off your ring and putting it in the backpack. What? Unless he was using it as a fishing lure.
Oh, maybe. There's an idea.
Right?
That's kind of funny. Well, you don't want bait because bait can really is nasty. And you don't want that in your ring.
No, you don't.
Fishing bait is nasty.
Oh, I see. So you take when you're digging in the bucket full of night crawlers, you don't want your ring. Yeah, I got you.
You don't want bait on your ring.
Oh.
Plus, you don't want it to slip off and fall into the water. Right? You put it in the backpack to be in a safer place.
And then you sink your boat.
Look what happened. Best laid plans, Chris. And Chris, while we're talking to you, you know what? There's plenty of water to be found around an island.
Yeah, the island of Hawaii. Well, Hawaii is actually a state that has several islands, but social networking king Mark Zuckerberg reportedly just paid $100 million for a getaway befitting a king, a social networking king, on Kauai, 700 acres.
Wait a minute. How many acres is Kauai in total?
You know, I don't know that. I know, I did find out it is the fourth largest island in the chain, but you think 700 acres, that has to be pretty much the majority of the island, right?
Right. Well, look, Oprah's buying up Maui. I mean, she's going to call it Oprah Land eventually when she buys enough of it.
Sure.
And Zuckerberg's buying Kauai, which arguably might be the prettier island.
Oh, it's beautiful. They've got pictures of this chunk of land. It used to be a sugarcane plantation, and it's got these beautiful white sand beaches.
Yeah.
But get this. The beaches have to remain open to the public since the state of Hawaii has no private stretches of sand. So now we all get to walk on Mark Zuckerberg's private beach.
How about that?
You know, one other thing, Phil, you were talking about people that are buying up islands. You know, last year, the chairman of Oracle, Larry Ellison, he bought the entire island of Lanai.
Really?
Yeah. So Lanai is privately owned completely.
Is that the fifth or sixth largest?
It's the sixth largest,
So pretty much go to Hawaii now, otherwise you might not be able to ever
again.
It's
just being bought up by land barons.
Or get adopted by Zuckerberg.
You have to walk
there
to the front door.
Yeah.
You might have a better chance than us.
I'm going to try.
Larry, you there? Larry, we want in. Can't do it. All right, boy, time is flying already. We're going to our next segment, and you will not believe what it'll cost you to buy a cat these days. Aaron has this amazing story and a whole lot more right here next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Aaron, Jay, and Chris are here, as they always are. You may not know this, but there are 86 Legos for every one human in the world.
What?
86 Legos for every one human.
That's a hell of a lot of Legos. Jeez.
I can tell you there are absolutely no Legos in my house.
Yeah.
Are there any in yours?
No.
No,
Jay?
I used to love them, though.
Yeah?
Back in the day.
How about you, Chris? You
no,
see, you
but
strike
I do.
Me as a Lego guy.
I was when I was a kid, but I wonder if anybody got paid to figure that out. That's what I wonder.
That's a good
it's
gig to have. If you can get it, that's a good gig, right?
Some math
well, all you're doing is counting Legos, right?
It's got to be an estimate, you know? Like this many households own this many Legos times this many households divided by this many
Well, how many
people.
Legos are in Legoland here in California?
Well, yeah. That's
most of them.
Yeah, you start there, but then you base it on, like what Chris is saying, how many did they sell over how many years and how many, what's the life expectancy of
Have
a Lego?
Have you guys seen like the latest Lego monstrosities that you can buy? First off, they're super expensive.
Oh, yes.
I couldn't believe that.
Because they're popular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, you can build like cities now for like $5,000. You buy this big giant box of Legos and you have Los Angeles or Chicago or whatever.
Well, right. I took my nephews to Legoland and the only thing they wanted to do, they didn't want to go on the rides. They just wanted to go in the store and try to get me to buy them the Lego boxes. And I kept having to take them away and said, no, not till the end of the day. But they both got presents.
Yeah, and they finally got past that little guy with the blue overalls. And you can make some pretty serious, scary looking dudes with Legos these days.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, didn't have that one. Back in my day.
Did they have Legos
then? We used to get a stick and rub it against the ground and make it sharp and then poke each other with it. That's all we did. So, Aaron, that guy that counts all the Legos, probably making a good amount of money, but do you think he would spend a little extra cash if he liked to have a cat?
Maybe, because somebody sure did. In Australia, there was a family that got an extra $140,000 in the sale of their home after a potential buyer. He saw the home and said that he would only buy it if their cat, Tiffany, was included in the sale. And it's actually a very pretty kitty, but $140,000 is a lot of money for a cat.
My gosh, 140 grand.
That's crazy talk.
It's a crazy person.
Yeah, and they said it's their beloved pet, and they still sold the cat, though, so it wasn't that loved.
Well, do you worry at all, Jay, if somebody is willing to pay an exorbitant amount of money for your cat, do you worry at all what his evil plan for your kitty actually is?
At that point, I've got a check in my hand, and I could care less.
Cat who?
Like, bye, cat.
What cat?
First of all,
had a cat.
The scenario you just drew up where Jay has a cat is non-perceivable.
Thank you.
True. Absolutely true. I'm glad that you're the most observant person on this show there, Chris. That's why you're going to have to wait to do your story, because Jay... I am on an absolute war. I am in war mode in the backyard because these absolutely thick and sticky and impermeable spider webs are everywhere. And there's no design to them. They're just a mess of spider webs. And I go out at about, I don't know, an hour after the sun goes down, and I get the flashlight on my smartphone. I don't get a real flashlight. I get the flashlight on my smartphone, and I start lighting these up. And here they are, those brown recluse spiders. And one by one, I just smack them with a shoe.
Well, you're a tougher man than I. I will give you that much.
You won't do that?
I will not do that.
I'm in battle mode.
Are you?
Absolutely.
You're just going out there?
And you know, every one of them.
I would like to be a fly on the wall and watch you just swatting in the dark with your cell phone light. That's hilarious.
Every one of them, too. They're going to make these little sacks. They look like miniature golf balls.
Really?
And there's like a million new spiders inside those golf balls.
Imagine buying a home, right? You buy a home and you leave the home vacant for about 6 months because you have to sell your home.
Yeah.
Okay? This happened to this family in Missouri. Or is it Missouri? Missouri?
You can say Missouri.
Or Missouri. Okay.
Missouri.
So out in Missouri, they bought a home, but they had to leave it vacant for 6 months. Well, when they came back, they found 6,000 of these brown recluse spiders have taken over the entire home.
Inside.
That's so inside the home.
Arachnophobia right there.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a 2,400 square foot home, and they say that there are spider webs everywhere. And these sacks that you were talking about,
yeah,
they're everywhere.
And every one of those sacks cracks open, you add another couple hundred spiders.
Exactly. So this is kind of like the cool thing. Turns out that they had the spiders were there, and that's why the family moved to begin with.
And they didn't.
That's why, and they didn't disclose it.
Oh, that's something you should tell the
so
people.
So they sold the original homeowners, and they won $472,000.
They sued them?
They sued the
How
original
much?
Homeowner. $472,000.
You can buy three cats for that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know, right?
I'm going to turn you into a cat man one of these
no,
days.
No, no. But, you know, like, these spiders are nasty, and they're nasty looking. And, like, the article that I have has a picture of it. I actually had to move it out of frame.
So you couldn't look at
because,
it?
So I don't want to see. I think they're gross.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll kill them if they come my way, but I can't just sit there and look at them.
They've
but
got like a little
that?
Violin on their back, right? Don't
yeah,
they?
It's yeah. That's a good way to put it. They are nasty.
Are they poisonous?
Yeah, I think. Oh, yeah. Like, right?
They
yeah,
are venomous.
Yeah, that's what
they're
I thought.
They're like deadly
yes.
poisonous.
Yeah. Yeah. So evidently, the exterminators have been out there for 2 months, and they still can't get rid of all these spiders in the house. So they're thinking that they're going to have to start ripping down drywall and rebuild the home.
Do you have yard shoes? When you work in the yard, do you have a pair of shoes you
I
leave
have,
out in the porch?
Sandals.
Sandals.
Because that's good with spiders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but yeah.
It's easy to take off and hit them really quick.
There you go. No laces.
I wear knee waders.
Yeah. I think a lot of guys have yard shoes. You know,
sure.
when you're going to push the mower around, that sort of thing. I got a pair of yard shoes.
Right.
But right now, it looks like somebody hit it with miniature silly string.
Really?
The inside of the shoes completely.
Oh, God.
Completely yarned up with this kind of spiders. And
no.
You know each one of them has one of those spiders in
it. It's disgusting. Yeah. It's gross.
Well, they're keeping the bug population down, that's for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Now to you, Chris. There's another Chris out there, famous guy, famous for his music, famous for being a complete idiot. And what has he said now?
Yeah, this is going to be a tough one for us to believe. But Chris Brown is in the news again and for saying something ignorant. So
no.
Yeah.
Wow.
Apparently, he recently tweeted this gem of a statement. I think this Ebola epidemic is a form of population control.
Oh, my goodness.
And how many followers does he have?
Getting crazy, bro. He has 13 plus million followers. And he followed up by saying he needed to learn to shut up. But the damage had already been done. People were responding with tweets like, Chris Brown thinks Ebola is a form of population control. Obviously it isn't, or we would have given it to him first.
Oh, good one.
Oh.
Why do morons like you get to be famous? So on and so forth.
Wow. So out of his 13 million followers, a handful of them actually do have brains.
Well, what happens is other people get the story. You know, you get guys like TMZ and Huffington Post. They grab onto these famous people's tweets, and then they run with it.
So
and
the
then the mass populace
outside of that
responds,
13 million,
right?
That's right.
Yes,
they start
the
doing
people.
At Chris Brown and all their tweets and making fun
like
of it.
Like Kardashian followers.
Yes.
Right.
So how many people favorited it? You know, like on Twitter, you can favorite a tweet. So, like, how many people agreed with him, Chris?
Funny you should ask, Jay. All 13.1 million followers.
No, they did not.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
And what percentage of them have Ebola?
Yeah. Oh, think God. Before you tweet.
Must
think
be a
before
very
you
small
tweet.
Percentage.
That wasn't me talking. That was Chris Brown.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, all right. You know what? We love talking about food here.
Yes, we do.
We had a fair amount of food talk in the last two programs, and I just want to keep the trend rolling here. There's arguably no survey that Americans would take more seriously than a survey about favorite food.
Yeah.
Right. So this survey feels trustworthy. It found America's 50 favorite foods. And while a lot of them make sense, there are some definite upsets.
I'm guessing okra.
Let's okra. Okra better not be on here. Okra's full of that, like, slimy, white, beady, slimy stuff that I can't even describe.
How about Brussels sprouts? Are those on there?
Well, let's go from 10 to 1 out of the top 50 here. And number 10 is pasta.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Pasta's good.
Next is avocado.
Hmm.
Corned beef. Corned beef.
Really?
Yeah, it's not corned beef, but corned beef.
That's interesting here in America. That's really interesting.
Yeah. Number 7, which is surprising to me that it's only 7, bacon. Because we say, like, bacon is the perfect food, right?
People love bacon.
Everything is great with bacon. Mozzarella cheese.
Oh, yes.
Mozzarella.
You get a good mozzarella? Mm-hmm. Oh, forget about it.
All right, and then just generic beef.
Yeah, totally.
Bring on the beef.
Yeah. Then number four, waffles.
Well, waffles are great because you can change them into whatever you want. Yeah. Blueberry, banana, chocolate chip, all that kind of stuff.
Combine them with the bacon, the cheddar bacon waffles. Those are good.
They're useful, too. You can use it as a face cloth, like a loofah, right?
And do you know all the things you can put in a waffle maker?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, right. There's a link on our links page. Yes. Will it waffle? Go check it out. All right, pizza, number three.
Good one.
Generic chicken, number two.
Okay.
And the number one item is steak.
Really?
That doesn't go with beef?
Yeah, it's a strange list. Now, I looked through the rest of them, the other 40 or so, and just strange, number 26 is asparagus.
I love asparagus.
Do you love the way it makes your pee smell?
Yes.
Seconds later. Another strange one on here, cashews, number 33.
Well, those are good.
And oddly enough, number 41 is asparagus. Yes, they screwed up. They included it twice.
All right.
It's so special.
And number 50, America's top 50 favorite foods, number 50 is rice pudding. When's the last time you had rice pudding?
Surprises me. No.
Is macaroni and cheese on there? Did you notice?
It was not.
But pasta.
Well, I guess it counts. Okay.
See, the variety is what gives you the edge. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, what would Halloween be without witches? Lucky for you, walking around the street at night with green face makeup and a wart on your nose and a tall, pointy black hat, you won't get burned at the stake. But there was a time when it was very different. Just acting funny could get you burned for being a witch. We'll speak with an expert on the Salem Witch Trials next on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, we are bleeding for you right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil, Aaron and Jay and Chris here. Jay just telling us about how he sliced his hand on one of those mandolin veggie slicers.
Those things are brutal. I'm moving into the girl's place and it's like I just picked it up.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
You're doing what?
I'm moving into the GF's place. So we're moving in together.
You live on the beach, bro.
Yes, I know. I know. And I'm done with that life. I am putting it away.
You're giving that up for where? A more suburban locale?
Yes.
You're a committed man.
I am growing up. Can you believe that?
Yard work?
Yes. Small, but yes.
Do you cook?
Every once in a while. Every Friday is my date night because I have Fridays off. She goes to work, and when she comes home, glass of wine.
Now, does the girlfriend appreciate your commitment, given the fact that you practically bled to death while moving?
I know, right? I mean, there was blood everywhere. I picked it up, and I didn't really notice what I did, and then I felt it drip, and it was, like, all over the box, and I go, holy crap, my finger's cut. And, I mean, it's a chunk and a half out of the tip of my...
You know what? She's got some kind of spell over you.
She does.
She might be a witch.
You think?
No, that's just the alcohol thinning out his blood.
Yeah, right?
Joining us live, incidentally and coincidentally, is the author of two books on the Salem Witch Trials. They are called The Salem Witch Trials, A Day-by-Day Chronicle of a Community Under Siege, and Six Women of Salem, The Untold Story of the Accused and Their Accusers in the Salem Witch Trials. Both books are available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. And our guest is Marilyn Roach. Hello. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
It is Marilyn, or do you pronounce it a little different?
Marilyn.
Okay,
still
good.
Strange.
All right. Nothing strange, because we might have to get out the rakes and the torches and bang your door down. Set the scene.
1,000 miles away.
Right. Hey, set the scene for us in what ultimately became Massachusetts. Maybe it was called that at the time in the late 17th century. Who were these people? Where did they come from? And what kind of a society had they set up there at that stage in the late 1600s?
Oh, well, they were English for the most part, Protestant Puritan by belief. But they brought a lot of folklore back from the old country with them, along with their religion, the more respectable part of the religion.
Right.
But there's kind of a feedback here. So there were a lot of stresses at the time, though, because there's a war going on with Canada on the frontier. The economy's gone downhill because of that. There's smallpox, which is never a good thing.
No, you tend to not want that to happen.
No, nothing like a good plague to make people nervous.
That's right. You know, we could relate to that these days.
Now.
Yeah, not all that different.
Right. And the British government was keeping an eye on what they were doing because all of the charters of the colonies, colleges, everything had been revoked when the kings came back after the Commonwealth period.
Yeah.
And if a place was a little more rebellious than others, such as Massachusetts tended to be.
So we
a while to get it legal again.
We think we've got it tough compared to what they had. Yeah. So what sorts of things would raise suspicions that you perhaps were a witch?
Well, ordinarily, and there were other cases before Salem, this is the big one. You have a disagreement with somebody and that you presumably you don't trust them to begin with, and then something happens, like the cow dies or someone gets sick. In 1692, there was the unusual symptoms that seemed typical of this outbreak, where the supposed afflicted girls had actual convulsions.
Oh.
Right in the courtroom, too.
And everybody just assumed then, because of what they brought along with them from their religion, that there was some sort of spell cast on these girls, right?
Yes. I mean, all over Europe, and you know, they were not just the Puritans. The idea that there could be witches was, you know, a given, not necessarily that that was your problem, but that it was possible, and it was in other cultures, too.
Yeah.
So.
And so once you were suspected of being a witch, you would be taken to trial, and you would be found guilty, right?
Well, there was due process, actually. There's a warrant sent out.
You had to wait to be found guilty. Is that what you're saying?
Well, there's a hearing, and then they hold them for trial.
Uh-huh.
And there's a grand jury, and then there was a jury. Unfortunately, people pretty much had made up their minds ahead of time.
Right. We get the impression that there were a lot of women accused. How many were they? Do you have an idea?
Oh, well, gee, let's see. There were about in 92, there were about 190 people who seemed to be mentioned in one surviving source or another.
Generally women?
Most of them, yes.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Well, yeah, unfortunately. But of the people who were actually hanged that year,
ooh,
there were 19 of them. About 5 of them were men.
Did they? Okay, so hanged. Did they hang?
Yes.
Or
felons.
Did they burn at the stake?
No, felons were hanged. The stake-burning thing was Europe and Scotland.
Oh,
had
I see.
A different
see.
Set of laws.
All right, either way, however they do it, it's not a great recipe for having a successful colony there, I suspect.
Well,
to get rid of all the ladies, that'll do the trick.
Yeah, well, this was the last time anyway.
Yeah.
And they did learn from it.
Yeah, I hope so.
Painfully so.
Yeah. And in your book, one of them, Six Women of Salem, et cetera, you focus on these six women. Why?
Well, because there was a certain amount of information available about them. Too many times somebody, you've got a name and you might have a few dates, but you don't really know anything about them. And there was some information about these, plus their varied experiences that year kind of summed up what people were going through generally.
I get the impression that it coming to their defense would not be something, if you were a peer, would not be something you'd want to do because you'd be afraid of being an accessory to the crime or worse, accused of witchcraft yourself.
Yeah, there's sort of two things about that because Mary Warren, the Hyatt girl, she thinks she's afflicted and has fits and stuff. And then she recovers from that, realizes she was mistaken, and then the other afflicted girls accuse her of selling out to the devil. So that didn't work out well for her. On the other hand, there were, about 250 people who signed petitions for their neighbors saying that they were good people.
Hmm.
Didn't help. I mean, they did die, but
yeah.
People did stick their neck out to some extent.
Ooh. gotcha.
Emily.
Yeah, I know. But we enjoyed it just the same. What ultimately brought all of this to an end? Who came to their senses and got everybody to come along with that thinking?
Ooh, well, certainly this Rebecca Nurse's family stuck by her the whole time and went up to the governor, took their case as far as the governor to get a reprieve, and then that evaporated. So,
which governor was this, by the way? I'm just asking.
Phipps.
I'm asking for
William Phipps.
Oh, Phipps. Okay, so it wasn't John Dudley. He was he
later?
Later? He was
He's
later.
He's the one who signs the reversal of attainder that clears the people's names who had been found guilty.
Dudley is?
Dudley, yes.
Jim. You know what? He's my 13th grandfather.
Well, son of a gun.
That's why I brought it up.
Yeah, okay. I thought you were just trying to show us how smart you were.
Yeah.
I got
direct descendant.
Well, great.
Yeah, how about that? See, we've made a connection.
Yes.
I feel the love in the room now, Marilyn.
Yes.
Good. Well, I'm glad. You know what? It is good that this came to an end.
It did.
And that my bloodline had something to do with it. And otherwise, I think we would probably be doomed as a society, right? Because all of the women would be gone,
and
right?
I was thinking that about that. I'd be in trouble.
Yes. Think of some of the things you've done.
Oh, boy.
We would just assume that you put somebody under the... Well, yeah.
Well, just owning more than three cats, I think you're deemed a witch.
Probably.
Back then.
Oh, man. And I do have a black cat, too.
Yeah,
so.
And just reading some of the comments from your followers on Twitter, you would think that some of them are under a spell of some sort. Well, anyway. Marilyn Roach, we love talking with you, and witches are always, especially in October, a popular topic. And again, the two books, The Salem Witch Trials and Six Women of Salem, available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Marilyn Roach, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, there you go. That was good stuff, right?
I think it could be kind of fun to actually be a witch, maybe.
Yeah.
A little bit.
You know what's fun? That John Dudley thing.
That's interesting.
Harvard. See, I have an 18-year-old daughter, and she's been in college for a year, year and a half or so. Harvard has a scholarship put together specifically for the descendants of John Dudley because he signed the proclamation that opened Harvard. I call up Harvard and I say, you know what? I'm the John Dudley was my 13th grandfather, and so that means I'm a direct descendant, and my daughter therefore also is.
Yeah,
we want to look into that John Dudley scholarship, and they said, all of our scholarships are based on need. I said, yeah, but there's like a percentage of people in the country and only a percentage of them that would consider going to Harvard. So you're probably talking about, oh, I don't know, one person a year that might be calling up about this?
Mm-hmm.
All of our scholarships are awarded based on need. Oh, okay. All right.
Thanks for nothing.
Yeah. So all things happen for a reason, right? Why do you have that scholarship? That they should say, descendant of John Dudley, who's down on his luck.
Yes.
Yeah.
You scholarship. Must really need it.
Maybe you just missed the cut. Maybe it was like anything under 12th year descendant or 12th generation descendant.
Well, then the scholarship would go away eventually.
Right. So. You know, me talking about all that burning at the stake, which apparently wasn't happening. They were hanging people and chopping off their heads and all of that. But it makes me want to burn something. Is that irresponsible for me to say?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Up next, we'll awaken your inner pyromaniac right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, here we go. Another action-packed segment of Phil Hewlett and Friends. October is Fire Prevention Month. Did you know that?
No.
It's right on the front end of the official fire season, but here in Southern California, especially with the drought, fire season is 12 months long. Just the same, but we try our best not to set fires. We tell our kids to be careful. Don't play with matches. You'll burn the house down.
And what do we do?
We play with matches.
Bingo.
Little kid, on my street growing up, there was, I don't know if you remember those green, wavy fiberglass fences that people used to have.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, you could almost see through it.
Yeah, kind of corrugated looking, you know what I mean? But they were green.
Right.
Well, one caught fire about, across the street from my house, one house over, caught fire. fire department came out, and somebody said, Phil set it on fire. Lucky for me, there was another kid named Phil who lived on the street over, and back then you could walk through people's yards, and you can get from one street to the next that way. And doubly lucky for me, Phil admitted that he did it.
Ah.
Otherwise, I would have been absolutely screwed. I would have been railroaded and blamed for something I didn't do.
Yeah, that sucks.
Which has never happened to me before. Anyway, we don't want to burn down the house or the fence or the neighborhood or the forest for that matter. Joining us live is a mother of two who, for the past 20 years or so, has been teaching innovative play. And she thinks parents are way overprotecting their children these days. I think that's a conclusion we could leap to in a hurry and be accurate. And the consequences, she says, to society might be as bad, if not worse, than a fire. That's me putting words in your mouth. Paige Olson, hello, how are you?
Hello, I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Now, you're welcome. Explain what you mean. What happens when, in your opinion, parents go too far in eliminating what we might consider risky play?
Well, there's kind of three main areas. One is the child doesn't connect with themselves. They don't get to know about themselves. Two, they don't learn how to identify and therefore be able to mitigate risk in their own life as they grow up. And they don't learn how to make solid decisions or even know how to go about collecting the information so they can make a decision.
So you mean like, I don't know, climbing a tree or riding a skateboard down a hill, that sort of thing?
That or jumping off a rock. You know, how far out on the cliff do I want to go? Is the rock wet? Does it have moss on it? You know, what's my risk to life?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Don't make me jump out of this helicopter and stop you from taking a step. You might fall down and get hurt and start crying.
Well, people are afraid of letting their kids get bumps and bruises and cuts and, you know, using a hammer and smashing their fingers.
Yeah, that's useful stuff to learn when you make those kinds of mistakes, right?
You're gonna absolutely.
And then you learn a couple of four-letter words. It's perfect.
Yes, and you're going to survive most of these things, Chris and Jay. I'm sure you've had your share of tumbles and breaks and splits and...
Yeah, and fires.
And fires. Did you light some fires?
Sure, yeah. I told you one time a while back on the show that I had lit something like 15 acres of woodland on fire playing with matches.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, one other thing that we used to do, not that I'm encouraging it, is you could take a book of matches, and if you rip the match stick out of it and you stick it on the back of it and you just run it with your thumb as fast as you can across the back and over the strike pad, you can actually shoot a lit match up to 20 or 25 feet. Very dangerous, and I'm not encouraging it
but
at
efficient.
All. But
efficient.
But yes.
Yeah. And Aaron's sitting over there, you know, like the cat ate the mouse.
I'm scooting over a little bit further.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, she was blamed for lighting the entire state of Ohio on fire, I think. Yeah. All right, so actually you, Paige Olson, let your six-year-old son start a fire. Now, define for us, please, start a fire, and why'd you do that?
Well, first of all, we've been experimenting with matches and fire since he was three. And so he started his first fire with a wooden match with the long handles and the big strike plate box into a fire. He leaned over something so he was a safe distance. But he had already been through a series of learning episodes, if you will, before he was even allowed to do it. And even when he was allowed to do it, when he was actually presented with the opportunity, he was scared, he was nervous, he wasn't sure if he was going to fall through with it. And I didn't care. It was up to him. But we really started back. Think about it. Kids are curious, naturally. And many kids are fascinated in fire. And adults go, oh, my gosh, my child's a pyromaniac. Well, he's not. He's curious or she's curious. And we light candles on birthday cakes when they're one, they're two, they're three. And it's fire and it's matches or a light starter. And then the child blows them out.
Yeah.
So their concept is there's this thing, you strike this thing, and it starts something, and we blow it out.
Yep.
That's what they know.
Right. And for the girls, the pigtails, you know, so hopefully somebody holds them back while they blow, otherwise it catches fire. And the boys with those stupid hairdos with, like, the short on top and the really, really long, skinny mullet thing that gets into the...
I love mullets.
Yeah. But you know the kind on the kids?
Yes.
So what you're doing is you're basically saying, look, let your kids go and try this because in the long run they're going to learn more about themselves than, okay, fire hurts. They get that. They'll learn that really quick. But they'll learn more about how they deal with fear or how they deal with potentially dangerous situations.
I'm also saying if they're curious in something like matches, which many kids are, engage the curiosity. Select a time that works for everybody. It, obviously, when they're young, you light it, but let them put together. I had 10-year-olds, 9-year-olds once put together a fire that they thought would start. And every single one of their thoughts would never start a fire.
No.
But it was interesting. But we looked at what burns. We'd take hair off of our heads. We would take paper. We'd take plastics. And we had this safe place. So they learned about safety.
Yeah.
He needed water. So by the time he was 6, he knew how to gather everything that was needed for safety. He would water down the perimeter. We had a big concrete ring around the fire pit. He'd water
that?
Down the perimeter. He was able to go through this whole safety process, risk management process.
Love that. What's your boy's name? Flint?
No, his name is he's Willis, and actually he is a firefighter today.
Difficult is it for you to impart this message to parents, teachers, local leaders? I mean, you don't want Smokey the Bear showing up at your front lawn with picket signs, right?
It's difficult, but at the same time, I'm in Seattle, so at the same time, there's an interest out there. It's just parents don't know what questions to ask or where to go, and so that's what makes it so difficult to get the message out.
We have about a minute left. What other kinds of risky play do you encourage?
From 18 months old, hammers. I have my daughter at 2.5 used one of those little palm sanders.
Really?
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh, because she drops it and it just falls on the ground. You pour 400-count sandpaper on it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Jumping off rocks.
I'd love to see your dining room table.
No, actually, what she had was a wooden horse outside my brother made her. So she would sand him, pretending he was grooming. But jumping off planks, jumping off rocks, bouncing, put the mattresses and pillows on the floor and let them jump to their heart's content. But in the process, teach them, talk to them about risk management, identifying, you know, safety issues and things like that. It will benefit them when they become a teenager. They will stop and think before they climb on the top of that car to go surfing or, you know, something stupid like that.
Don't do stupid stuff. At your website, PageOlson.com?
Yes.
Okay, very good. And we'll link to you on our links page here at PhilHewlettAndFriends.com. I feel safe in saying that I still feel like lighting something on fire. I don't know what it is. It's just so much fun to watch fires, but don't, come on, be responsible. Do what Paige says. Don't burn stuff down. Learn what you're doing. Thank you for being on the show, Paige.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, that's it for this hour. It just flew by. There's more coming up. We have a second hour. We'll talk about so much, including what would you pay for Royal Bloomers and which Major League Baseball city from the remaining teams would you want to visit on a vacation? Those stories and more in our second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Coming up next. I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, we're coming down to the wire to see which two teams go to baseball's World Series. It's looking pretty good, but you know, it's not over till it's over. But which one of those cities, the baseball cities, would you rather vacation in and why? Our travel guy will join us live with some thoughts. The friends are here. Aaron Myers, Jay Campidonia, Chris Martin. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks again for tuning in. A lot to cover this hour, so why don't we get started with you, Aaron. there's a lot of sensitivity when it comes to fashion and fashion models. And we've heard about these boycotts where the models are so skinny and they say, you know what, come out here and eat some food, eat a couple of burgers, and then look like a real person and put on some clothing. I might want to buy it. But it's more about the health issue, though. And there's
yes.
another controversy that's sprung up. What is it?
Yeah, and this one doesn't even involve real models. There's a clothing store in New Zealand that's being criticized for using mannequins that have prominent protruding ribs. And, you know, there are pictures and very, very skinny. And people are already tweeting comments, you know, things like saying purging is in this season. And, of course,
wow.
therapists, yes, not a good thing. Therapists and doctors are saying this will definitely have a negative effect on young women and even young men. And here's the catch, though. The store, Glassons, has said it has no plans to remove the super skinny mannequins. They're going to keep using them. They don't seem to care at this
moment. Because the store, Glassons, of which we've never, ever, ever heard of, is now being reported all over the world.
Yes.
Including here.
For something not good. So you'd think they'd want to...
But you know, we have a short memory. So 6 months, a year from now, they'll be having their big president's sale or something like that. Mm-hmm. Come in, get two dresses for the price of three, and you'll buy into it because somehow, somewhere in the back of your mind, oh, yeah, I know that brand, Glassons.
Yeah.
Sure, I'll shop there.
I won't remember why, but yeah, of course.
Well, there's a market for that too, isn't there? Isn't there a large group of super skinny teens or even young adults that are looking for those types
of
places?
Well, they've got just like the large and tall men's stores, right? You got to have the ribcage girls store too,
right?
I guess. You got to cover all the bases. Is that right?
They're just finding their niche.
What size is portly? Does anybody know?
I don't know.
Do that's they sell that anymore?
No, that's something you say to fat girls to make them not as
really
rough.
Portly? I don't think that would make it much better.
Well, fat guys.
Okay.
Fat guys, too. Just fat people in general. Like husky.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to say.
Husky.
Yeah.
Big boned.
Can you say, can you tell a lady that she has a husky voice?
That's okay.
Yeah.
I think.
Because I think that goes into that like old school actress, you know, that
and
smoky,
if she freaks
sexy.
Out, you say, I meant whiskey voice. Whiskey voice.
Smooth as whiskey.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Let's see. What else? Oh, we had this guy on an airplane the other day, and he shouted something, and it got him kicked off. He was a complete idiot. But there's some rules about what you can and cannot say on an airplane. Isn't that right, Aaron?
Yeah, eight things that you shouldn't say, and saying you have Ebola is one of them. That's what that man from Philly did on a flight, and he was removed by men in hazmat suits once they landed. But number one, I just came from Liberia for obvious reasons now. Number two, none of us thought the pilot was intoxicated because that's actually forced pilots to have to take sobriety tests and get flights canceled. Number three, no-brainer, bomb.
Yeah, don't say that.
No, not a good one to
and
say
don't
anywhere.
Say, don't say, hey, did you know you're not supposed to say bomb in an airport when you're in an airport?
Yeah, or anytime, anywhere.
Don't say that.
Good to know.
Yes.
What if you say that's bomb?
Well, or you're the bomb.
Like, man, these cookies are bomb.
Just hopefully they hear you correctly is what I'm going to say. Because the flight attendants and pass are the ones who make these decisions usually.
Can you imagine the hysteria that breaks out when you say that? All the people rushing for wherever it was you bought those cookies?
Exactly, right?
Make some money at the airport then.
Yeah. What else?
Another one. I'm going to blow up because apparently a German man said that on a plane. But in Germany, it means that they have to go to the restroom. So,
It means that here in America, too.
So don't be careful of that one.
Well,
just say, I need to use the restroom.
You know, if you're retaining water, you know, during that time of the month, you might say something like that.
Exactly. No,
fun. I'm going to blow up.
I'm not a terrorist. Don't say that.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty no-brainer,
because
too.
Because nobody will believe you.
No.
Yeah.
I think I'm scary looking, so who knows? Wow, the rudest gate agent ever, number six, is saying don't tweet things or complain because you might get kicked off the plane. Number seven, cuss words, don't get angry. And number eight is, does the door open during flight or are we going to crash? Not good things to say to a flight attendant.
Does the door open? I love
it. Because I'm going to jump.
Well, look, if you're one of those nervous people, you see them on planes all the time. There's always the one person on the plane who just absolutely hates flying. They're scared of it. But
that's me.
That's you?
Yeah, I don't like to fly.
But they absolutely have to fly in this particular case. And so in that state of extreme nervousness, you might say something to the flight attendant. Are we going to crash?
I actually saw, when I was flying one day, I saw the pilot out checking the plane, and I'd never seen that before. So I went up to the gate agent, and I said, what is he doing? Why is he doing that? And she looks at me. She's like, honey, it's okay. They do this every time.
Yeah,
but it scared me enough to actually go ask because I had never seen that.
Yeah, but
that.
Aaron, that's what Long Island iced teas are for.
Well, that's kind of been my way of flying ever since.
Right.
So.
Now no longer are you as scared.
No, not as bad.
Not as scared anymore. All right. Okay, poor Aaron. Poor folks in Bakersfield, Jay.
There's some idiot running around in a clown costume, Phil, in Bakersfield.
Why?
That's the whole point.
Does he
Nobody
drive a truck?
Nobody really knows. No. He's actually trying to get people in the Halloween spirit, if you will. But he's kind of a creepy-looking clown. He's got this raggedy old clown costume. His face, he's got big red hair. But his face has got like a scratch across it. He's holding a couple balloons. And he's just showing up in random places, outside McDonald's, outside other stores, in public places, and he's just kind of like staring at people.
He's terrorizing people.
Terrorizing people, if you will, and just kind of giving them the heebie-jeebies, right? So these, and now police think that there are multiple guys in clown costumes in Bakersfield terrorizing the town. A couple reports that some clowns have committed some crimes, but there's no real proof to... you know, to make that actually true, but I don't see anything wrong with it. I think it's kind of fun. It is Halloween. What are we, 2 weeks out from Halloween now?
Right.
And, I mean, I think it's kind of fun. As long as you're not touching anybody, hurting anybody, all you're doing is sitting on a park bench taking a picture, that's fun.
Clowns are just universally creepy, are they not?
Yeah, they cause nightmares.
Does anybody think clowns are cute anymore?
No.
Even those French clowns?
French you know the clowns?
Yeah, they've got the one clown at the circus that he doesn't look like everybody else. He's got, like, the full white face and the red lips, and he looks a little more French, I guess.
Yeah, no.
I feel like
as opposed to the guy with the big nose and the giant shoes.
Yeah, no.
No?
No.
Even that guy.
Ronald McDonald.
Oh, yeah, that style.
He's creepy, too, though.
I do feel like it does get the creep factor goes up in Bakersfield because it's a little bit more believable that it might be a maniac.
Sure.
Yeah, right.
Some of our listeners might not be familiar with Bakersfield, but it just feels like something bad could go down out there.
Oh. Yeah.
The clown terrorizing.
Please, nothing bad to the Bakersfieldians. Is that what they're called?
I don't know. That's a good one, though.
there's a football announcer who could use a hug.
Yeah, Aaron. He had a bad weekend. UFC announcer Mike Goldberg made his NFL play-by-play debut on Sunday between the Minnesota Vikings and the Detroit Lions. And so far, the reviews have been not so nice and not good, actually, at all. Apparently, he lost sight of the football on the first play. He mixed up players, coaches, downs, distances, etc. So pretty much everything you can do wrong, it sounds like he did.
Oh, no.
And actually, the Lions fans website, Pride of Detroit, said about his performance, it was the worst broadcast of a football game I've ever witnessed in my life. And they actually won the game, and they still weren't being nice. So,
my gosh.
And people have been lashing out at Goldberg on Twitter, and he's not handling it very well. He's been actually responding to people, you know, saying some not so nice things, but he's still scheduled to call Sunday's Vikings and Bills game. So we'll see what happens if it's a little more prepared this time.
Yeah, well, he knows he doesn't know from football. Did he accidentally call something an arm bar or an axe kick or something like that?
Right.
Yeah,
chokehold. Or did he tell anybody to tap out?
That's funny.
Did he do that?
I mean,
are you saying
practice.
He should stick to what he knows?
Maybe.
He did the Lingerie Football League. He did do play-by-play for them, but I think maybe he'd be paying a little more attention with, you know, women running around in lingerie.
You might
possibly
think. Yeah.
He's probably just nervous and
lost
sight of what he
was
time, supposed to do.
He'll learn his lesson. He'll come back strong.
Well, and I think being a commentator in the NFL is a little bit more complicated than what he does at the UFC. Yeah, there's going to be a
Or the lingerie
curve.
Bowl.
Hey, right.
You know.
They play real football.
Yeah.
Who?
Lingerie.
Sure
league.
They do.
They do.
Yeah. They should keep that league going. Put it on prime time. Yeah. I like where you're going with that, Aaron. Thank you.
Hey, you know, you were talking about those clowns in Bakersfield.
I was.
Wasn't there another beloved character that was up to no good?
So a couple of kids in Minnesota will never look at Santa Claus the same way again. Okay. A drunk college student dressed up as Santa went to a nearby zombie run, so he put on zombie makeup. And evidently, the guy was so hammered, he wandered 6 blocks from the race shortly after it was over, walked into a house when there was a 14-year-old boy and a 16-year-old girl in the home. The parents had gone out for date night.
Wow.
So the guy just stumbles into the house, falls asleep on the couch, pukes on himself.
Oh, no.
All over that red suit?
All over the place. All over his white beard everywhere.
Yeah.
The 16-year-old girl ran and locked herself into a bathroom. The 14-year-old boy ran out of the house, went to a neighbor's house, called the cops. They didn't file any charges. They said, okay, look, the guy was drunk. Obviously, no harm, no foul. But can you imagine that, waking up, you're 14 years old, and see a drunk Santa?
Yeah.
Zombie makeup.
zombie makeup, puking all over himself.
You're just old enough and just young enough to be ruined for life.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully the senior in college out there in Minnesota learned his lesson.
My goodness. All right. Hey, up next, here's a creative way to ask for a raise. I'm not sure it's a good way, or maybe it is one. But Chris has this story, and we have a whole lot more in our next segment here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Here we go. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. We have a website, philhewlettandfriends.com. Poke around. You'll find a lot of things to do there. There's the show fun page. There's the store. There's the links. And we have blogs now. We're only just starting to do them. And you might find some interesting things there as well.
We are?
Yeah. Oh, you didn't come to that meeting?
I guess not. I didn't get proper notification, so I'm going to notify the union. Oh, wait, we don't have a union.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, you had to say that out loud.
Go tell HR. Maybe they could get it fixed.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, where's our HR guy? He's behind the... Yeah.
Oh, there he is. Executive producer, Mike Stark.
Dressed in a clown outfit.
Hi, I got a complaint. All right. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
My bones hurt.
Yeah.
All right, so there's a guy that asked for a raise in a peculiar way. And Chris is here to tell us about it. What did he do?
We're going to talk about Tyler Oates, Phil. He's 30 years old, and he works for Wells Fargo. And he recently sent an email to the CEO of the bank firm requesting a $10,000 raise.
That's a pretty good chunk of money.
It is. And sending the CEO of a multi-billion-dollar firm like that, it takes a set of marbles.
And for the CEO, $10,000, that's like beer money, right?
Right, yes, right. But also, isn't there a sort of a list of superiors you go to before you go straight to the CEO?
Yeah, I think so. Chain of command.
Yeah. And if that's not brazen enough, he took it another step. Prior to sending this email, he spent several days and multiple emails so he could CC 200,000 of his Wells Fargo's coworkers.
How many?
Prior to sending this request, 200,000.
The CEO is going to get a lot of emails
now. Did you say he CC'd them or he BCC'd them?
He CC'd them.
So all of the email addresses were evident and clearly savable and clickable and all of that for all the other 200,000 people.
Right. And also imagine you're the CEO. When you open it up, you see your name at the top too, and then you see CC A through... Let's say he made it to D in the first email, and then the next email comes through. Same exact request. Now we're going to go E through G.
Can you imagine, out of the 200,000 people, if there's one person that is a budding email marketer, spammer, gets a list like that? What could they could turn it around. If they're vice presidents in there, there are all kinds of people who make some scratch.
Who make some major decisions. Mm-hmm.
That could be a very valuable email list. That guy he's toast.
Good point.
He's toast. He's out the door, right?
No, not necessarily, Phil. So, first of all, he's been interviewed through a few different publications lately, and he says he's not concerned about losing his job over this. He's not concerned at all, which is interesting in the first place. I mean, but the company's now responded, and they say that we're going to decline to say whether or not he'll be disciplined or fired. Now, that doesn't mean he will or won't be, but it sounds like he may not be, you know, just because of the attention that it gets.
Well, you'll hear about it one way or the other with what happens, because he'll tell.
Yeah, I think he should be fired, as a matter of fact, just for that email thing.
I love the email trains, though. That's the like somebody puts out the memo, the company memo.
Yeah.
And then everybody's on it, and then the jokes start to come in about the company memo. Those are the most entertaining thing at work sometimes.
Yeah.
And then somebody's like, can you please take me off this list? It's like, ah.
You should be running around as a clown in Bakersfield with that evil laugh.
Thank you.
Yes.
You know, when you got the CEO
money. How do
you
know I'm not?
Ooh. Yes.
When you're making a ton of money, you ask for ridiculous perks when you go on vacation.
What do you mean?
Well, here.
Because that is so far from my realm of thinking.
Yeah, well, right. When you and I, not together, but separately, book a hotel room, the perks we're looking for is what? Like complimentary wireless internet and maybe a free Danish in the morning, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Continental breakfast.
And it may be an extra shampoo.
Yes.
Got a full head of hair there. Probably takes a couple of bottles to get that lathered up.
Right? It takes a one bottle of shampoo from a hotel, one bottle to...
To get that fully lathered.
Yep.
Yeah, I figured. So you got to ask for a little extra. So that's a perk. That's the least you can expect.
I pictured Jay as a guy that brought his own shampoo.
Yeah.
Special brand.
Yes, exactly. Hey, here's a...
Thanks for blowing up my spot, Chris.
Mane and
Jesus.
Tail or something, yeah. You know?
Wow. You know about mane and tail?
Everybody knows about mane and tail.
I think not. The only reason I do is because I have three daughters.
Okay.
Right?
Well, when you have a mane like Jay's, you know.
And a tail like...
In it. Yeah, thanks. All right.
Well, so here, the reason I bring this up, here's a list of five of the most ridiculous hotel perks that rich people can get at high-end hotels. You can arrive at a hotel by paraglider. At the Six Senses Hideaway in Oman, your room comes with a guide who will paraglide you from the top of a mountain to the front door to check in. And it costs about $1,800 a night at this. That's not bad.
That's not bad at all. And that is awesome.
I might, you know, that's like $1,800 bucks.
Yeah, well, worth it.
Of course, you're in Oman.
So?
So you might spring for it. Pet psychic.
Oh, God.
A hotel in Monaco.
Oh, did you hear Aaron? Oh, where was this again?
Actually, it's not a hotel in Monaco. It's a hotel in Portland called the Hotel Monaco.
Okay.
They have a psychic on hand to tell you what your pet is thinking and how to improve your relationship. That perk comes with a room that's around $500 a night, so that's pretty reasonable.
Mm. Not too bad.
At the Four Seasons in Maldives, a special phone in your room rings if manta rays have been spotted in the ocean, so you can rush to a private speedboat and see the manta rays. And that room costs about $2,900 a night.
That's kind of cool, though.
Yeah, it is. Okay, we're going up the food chain a little bit here with the next two. There's a $19,000 a night suite at the Four Seasons in Beverly Hills.
Wow.
That gives you unlimited access to their insane fleet of cars, including Lambos and Ferraris.
Awesome.
Yeah. The Namal Resort and Spa in Fiji offers a kidnapping service where they take you to a secret waterfall for a romantic picnic. Those rooms run $19,000 a night. Oh, well, wait a minute. Hold on. Not a night. Beverly Hills was $19,000 a night. This place at the Namal Resort and Spa in Fiji costs you $19,000 for a week's stay.
Oh,
okay, there you go. That's pretty reasonable.
So divide that $19,000 by seven, and it's way too much money.
Yeah, right?
And you get kidnapped.
That's right. Who wants to get kidnapped?
No, but that's kind of cool because, like, if you take your wife there for, like, an anniversary or something like that,
yeah.
And then it's like, honey, you know, let's go downstairs. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they don't, like, blindfold you.
put you in a bag or anything.
Yeah, you know, hog tie you.
Yeah.
I don't think they do that. But, you know, put a blindfold on your wife and say we're going to go on this little trip, and then there's this beautiful waterfall.
Yep.
Man, you're in.
Yeah, they're growing these pumpkins bigger and bigger every year, aren't they?
They really are. There was a pumpkin growing contest. By the way, I am 35 years old, and I still call them pumpkins.
Pumpkin.
That's what they are. So,
does your girlfriend call you pumpkin?
You guys can take shots at me all the time. Yeah, every once in a while I get that.
Come here, pumpkin.
By the way, Trader Joe's has the best pumpkin spice like breakfast bars.
Really?
To die for.
Oh.
So anyways, up north in Half Moon Bay, which is actually a popular surfing spot. You ever surf there?
Half Moon Bay, and at the Half Moon Bay Airport, great place for breakfast. You go to the airport.
Oh, really?
Go right to the terminal. There's a breakfast place there. That's the hot tip of the day. If you're driving down the one, stop in there at the airport, have breakfast.
Well, get this. A California farmer had a pumpkin that weighed 2,058 pounds.
That's a ton.
According to the Guinness World Book of Records, the harvest pumpkin in history weighed the heaviest pumpkin in history weighed 2,032 pounds. So this pumpkin beat it by a good, you know, 20-some odd pounds.
The heaviest. How
about
that?
It takes a heaviest. Year to grow it, or?
I don't know.
Oh.
All I know is that it was a giant pumpkin,
so
and
big,
I want that on my front porch.
You could turn it into a stagecoach.
Hey, by the way, instead of carving a pumpkin like a sucker this year, just let creepy agricultural engineering take care of things for you. A farmer in Fillmore up in Northern California figured out a way to grow pumpkins in a mold that makes them look just like Frankenstein's monster.
Oh.
They're tall, they're narrow, they have a monster face molded right into them. It took them 4 years and $500,000 to get these pumpkins right. You want to see a picture of them?
Yeah.
Wow.
They're on our show fun page at philhewlettandfriends.com. Go take a look.
That's kind of fun.
No more carving for me.
Yeah,
buddy.
Right.
Hey, four teams left in baseball's playoffs. Which city would you rather visit? Baseball city, that is. Our travel guy joins us next to talk about the four cities. Do you know what they are? San Francisco, Kansas City, Baltimore, St. Louis. Which one would you rather visit? Let's figure all of this out next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is Phil Hewlett and Friends. Now, this is Phil Hewlett. The show is Phil Hewlett and Friends. Just in case you were confused, I'm all about making things clear when they're not clear. So the friends are here. If I am ever unclear, they set me on a straight and narrow path. The friends are as follows: Aaron Myers, Jay Capadonia, Chris Martin. Pictures of them are on the website under the About Us tab if you want to go take a look. Okay? And you want more pictures? We all have Facebook pages. Go have some fun. All right, four teams left in the baseball playoffs. And Chris, which ones are they?
It's the St. Louis Cardinals, San Francisco Giants.
That's the National
Those
League.
Those two are playing against each other in the National League. They're actually playing this evening.
Where are they right now? How many games are they in?
The series is tied 1-1.
Okay. Could
and
be anybody's.
It's a seven-game series.
Anybody's championship to win on the National League side.
It's a coin flip at this point.
Yep.
In the ALCS, it's the Baltimore Orioles versus the Kansas City Royals.
Are they tied up?
No. The Royals are leading 2-0.
KC.
Wow.
Yes.
They've been on fire.
Well, they're a team of destiny ever since they absolutely devastated the Angels.
Seems like it. Yeah, they seem very scrappy.
Yeah. All right, so we have Baltimore, KC, and we have San Francisco and St. Louis. Four cities to consider. And our travel guy, Gary Warner, is here. And baseball or not, which city would you rather visit? Let's find out. Gary, you've no doubt been to all four cities. Is that correct?
Yep. You know it, man.
Okay, I do know it. I expect that you would be to all of these cities.
You expect.
All right.
Not only have I been to all four cities, but I've been to ball games in all four cities.
Oh, good for you. Let's hold off on San Francisco, because for me, that's a slam dunk. That's an easy, any old time you want to have a good time and just go someplace where you're going to have a great little couple of days, San Francisco's a no-brainer. But I'm thinking St. Louis. And there's that stupid Gateway Arch, and then what else is there? You go to a good barbecue restaurant?
You go to a good barbecue restaurant, you stay down at Union Station, and you wander around. There's some beautiful parks and things like that. But really, you know, I'm going out on the limb and saying this World Series is going to be San Francisco and KC. So St. Louis, you don't have to worry about.
Oh, really?
They're not going to be in it.
Well, there's nothing to do in St. Louis, though, right?
No, I wouldn't go that far. My sister-in-law is from there, so I got to watch out what I say.
Yeah, but what would smart guy? What would you do in St. Louis if you did go?
Get out of town? I'm just not a big St. Louis fan. It's probably the one I know the least.
Would you take a bus to Branson
show? It's got a great muscular downtown with lots of sights to see. The river's right there. The Gateway Arch.
Who's playing the Moon River Theater in Branson these days? Do we know?
Is that Yakov Smirnoff?
I think I've been to Branson once, and I think that was one time too many.
How far a ride is it from St. Louis to Branson? I mean, I'm looking for things to do in St. Louis.
I don't know, man. We're spending an awful lot of time in St. Louis and Branson.
Okay, let's go to an equally thrilling city. You mentioned Kansas City, and the place is flat, is it not?
Well, I'll tell you, Kansas City to me is a completely different story. Kansas City is one of the great unsung American stops for a visit for tourists. I love Kansas City.
What do you do there?
Well, there's something for really anybody there. First of all, it's one of the best eating cities in the U.S. One of the truly great barbecue cities of the United States, with Arthur Bryant's and Gates, kind of along with a place called Oklahoma City. They're kind of all holding down the three corners there. But Arthur Bryant's and Gates have sort of this barbecue war going on that's been going on for decades down there. And so great eats. The other thing to go out there is Kansas City Jazz, which is sort of a more kind of a honky-tonky, you know, when you think more of like Louis Armstrong, yeah. bring them a little bit north, that sort of sound. It's more upbeat. They've got some great clubs there. You places like the Blue Room, Green Lady Lounge, and the Kill Devil Club. You Ooh. Know, you can go out there and really have a great time.
How about that? I had no idea. Yeah. All right, so we'll
plus, plus they have the plus they have the for baseball fans, they have the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, the mm-hmm. only one in the country where right. you can learn the story about the Negro Leagues back when there was the color barrier in baseball.
Yep.
And they also have the because it's the 100th anniversary this year, important to note, they have the National World War I Museum for people who are into that kind of stuff.
The World War I Museum.
Right.
Oh, about
Only
that.
One in the country.
Yeah.
So I just think it's a great town. There's a lot of fountains all over the place. And fall is a wonderful time of year to be visiting Kansas City.
All right. So if you're going to go to Baltimore, is it because you wanted to save on a hotel when you're visiting Washington, D.C.?
No, you know, I used to live in Lancaster, Pennsylvania,
yeah.
Baltimore was my getaway town, and I really like Baltimore a lot. You go down to the Inner Harbor, which has been completely redone.
Is that Annapolis, or is that something different?
No. Annapolis is further away. Annapolis okay. is the state capital. Right. The Inner Harbor is the Baltimore Inner Harbor. It used to be very industrial. They went back through and they renovated it into a shopping area. The main thing down there is Camden Yards, the first of these retro stadiums that set off the rebuilding craze of all these yep. You know, retro ballparks. There's good eats down there. Blue crabs. I don't know if you've ever had blue crabs, but basically you take these crabs and you put them on a piece of paper. And you take a wooden mallet and you mash them, you know, a bunch of times, and break them in half and pull the meat out of the crab with your fingers and drink beer and just have a grand old time.
How about that? All right. Very good.
Yeah.
My wife points something out. She points something out about Kansas City. She says it's the home of Hallmark cards.
Yes, it is.
Is there a greeting Aww. Card museum?
There is a greeting card museum.
Really?
Yes, there is. Yeah.
Oh God, how boring!
No,
that doesn't it sound like it?
No, you know, I have a friend who is an actor from L.A. who moved to Kansas City because he could get so much work doing cards for Hallmark.
No kidding. You just write the little sentiment in there.
No. He was in the photos. He had red hair and a big nose, and so he was always the Irish guy, the drunken Irish guy. And then Mothers Against Drunk Driving got against these cards, and Shoebox, which was one of the divisions of Hallmark, mm-hmm. got rid of the whole division, wiped out my friend's income, and he had to come out here and be like everyone else and troll Hollywood for jobs.
Of course. All right. We all have a script. How many scripts at this table do we have? Three scripts? Four scripts? How many scripts written?
I think we're missing a town here.
Oh, that's right. We want to go to San Francisco for sure. And can we do San Francisco in one segment? Because there's just so much to do, right?
Yeah. Oh, there's so much to do. But I want to talk a little bit about some of the areas around the ballpark. I went down there and covered the America's Cup race last year, and I was just amazed at someone. I went to Berkeley for college, and I'm just amazed at what they've done with the Embarcadero area down there, right along the bayfront. There's just so much to do down there. The Ferry Building is one of the great food courts of America. Go out there, get some coffee, and sit out there and watch the world go by.
Can you rent a kayak and bob around in McCovey Cove during a ball game and wait for a home run?
You could if you wanted to. Yeah. If you wanted to, yeah, sure. I don't think I'd want to, but you know, you could.
National television this time of year when somebody hits
as some kind of dork that basically, you know, tips over and then comes up with a ball.
Yeah,
you know? It's like, you know, $3 ball. Hey, I got it. Yeah, you know,
you get a kayak and you put a giant .com sticker on there. You know, somebody will pay you like $1 million.
Oh, there you go, right. GoldenPalace.com.
I'm I'm always thinking. Yeah. Always thinking
but
of opportunities.
One of the things for baseball fans I always say is go to Lefty O'Doul's, which is an old bar down on Union Square.
Yeah.
And it was owned by Lefty O'Doul, who was the greatest Giant, greatest San Francisco baseball player before this guy named DiMaggio.
Yeah.
And inside there is all sorts of great baseball memorabilia. My favorite thing is a blow-up of the defense worker's card of this young woman, young blonde woman named Norma Jean DiMaggio.
Oh.
And she had to use her legal name when she was going overseas to entertain the troops in those days.
Chris, you know who Norma Jean DiMaggio is? Do you know who that is, Chris?
Norma Jean, the beauty queen.
You know who that is then, don't
No.
You, you don't know who it is?
No.
So wow. close.
Yeah, you were close. She was a beauty queen.
Throwing a rhyme together there. But I do. I have a question.
Marilyn
Monroe. Oh, Marilyn Monroe. There you go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Who was married to Joe DiMaggio, and then they got divorced, and Joe used to send a rose to her grave every day for years after she died.
Well, Gary, Chris does have a question for you.
So here's what I want to know, and this is sort of to the guys at the table, too. We're Southern Californians, and we had a chance with the Dodgers and the Angels. But now that we're at the stage that we're at, Do we shift our allegiance over to San Francisco? Are you guys rooting for the Giants at this stage?
You are not allowed to do that.
I'm just saying, do you even pick it? Do you root for them at all? Like, do you even pull for them a little bit?
Does a Yankees fan root for a Red Sox win?
I think you have to go with Kansas City, and you know their uniforms kind of look like Dodger uniforms.
They
you know?
Do. Okay.
No, you can't root for the Giants. Although it's getting embarrassing. I mean, the Giants, you know. Their third visit to the World Series in something like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
The Dodgers just choked it up. The Angels choked it up even worse. God, what a terrible year.
Sad.
Terrible year.
It's Sports Talk with Travel Guy.
This was their year. And next year's going to be tough. Year's going to be tough. They got this guy, Trout, you know?
Yeah.
He's not getting any younger, but he's in his prime. But everybody else is getting really old.
Yeah, I agree.
And so if they don't do it next year, if we're not talking about what to do in Anaheim or the rest of Orange County next year this time, we're going to be in big trouble.
All right, going to throw you a curveball.
Okay.
Oh.
Gary Warner, if the Major League Baseball organization decided to expand to one additional U.S. city for travel purposes only, which city would you prefer there be a baseball team in?
Travel purposes only. Boy, that's a tough one because, they went down to Florida, which is a great travel area, and those teams stink and the towns stink. I would say here's I'm going to throw you a couple of
suggestions.
Okay. Yeah, I would say Portland, Oregon would be a great spot to have a team
right there on the Columbia River. Right.
Right. I would actually think about, believe this or not, think about putting another major league team in the New York area. And bringing back that old 1950s Giants, Dodgers, Yankees set up there. The Brooklyn Cyclones, you play out in Coney Island. They draw big crowds. Plus, Brooklyn is really becoming a town of its own again. I think you could probably make an argument for a place like Charlotte or something like that. I would look for a town that's got a great minor league tradition, maybe Louisville or something like that, and put them in there.
Right.
The other thing that you could possibly do, quite frankly, here's a big curveball for you.
Yeah.
Havana.
Oh, well, yeah. A lot has to happen before that occurs.
Well, it was ping pong for the Chinese. How about baseball for,
Yeah, but then they would win every single year from here until the end of time.
That's right. They wouldn't have to have all these guys running away. Well, if you wanted to, maybe as a half step, Puerto Rico or the Dominican Republic. You know,
again,
let the Dominican Republic keep their own guys, man.
Again, they cream everybody for till baseball ends.
You're making a San Pedro de mockery of this whole conversation.
Yeah, I am. But I think as soon as things lighten up in Havana, it would be great to have a team down there again.
Gary Warner, thrilling to speak with you today, sir, because we mixed baseball with travel, and it was a lot of fun. And
two of my favorite things.
Yeah, there you go. Nice to know, and we'll talk to you again next week. Where are you headed?
I'm just at home right now. I think I've said that two weeks in a row.
But, next week on Phil Hewlett and Friends, Gary Warner talks about his living room.
Gary Warner talks about his living room. Actually, he talks about his bedroom, which is where
Baseball bedroom.
Always a vacation.
What's the matter with you? Get out of here.
I've got some good stuff coming up, and I'll tell you about it next week.
All right. Very good. Thanks. There he goes. Hey, that was a good travelogue. And when we come back, any idea? We're gonna talk about, among other things, McDonald's and how long that Big Mac will last in that box before it turns. You know what I'm talking about? That's next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for being here with us today. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends, and we're here with you. It's Phil and Aaron and Jay and Chris. And everybody loves a little stop to the McDonald's. Everybody's been there. All right? Don't deny it. You've been to McDonald's. You vegan, you. That's why you're a vegan, more or less, isn't it?
Yeah,
McDonald's
much.
Drove you to become a vegan? Ruined you for life. So, Chris, vegans have several beefs with McDonald's. Sorry, pun intended. here's McDonald's speaking back.
Yes, McDonald's is starting a new ad campaign, and it's pretty ingenious, really, when it comes to trying to counteract all these things. Like we saw that Fast Food Nation, and what's the other one where the guy puts the hamburger on the windowsill for like a month and it doesn't even. It doesn't mold or anything. It looks like you could still eat it.
Yeah, I don't know, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, it's so what they're doing is they're letting camera crews into their factory, into their McDonald's factory, and they're showing people exactly how their hamburgers and chicken nuggets and all that stuff is made. And it proves that, in fact, they do use 100% pure beef in all of their hamburger patties.
Oh.
And it also clarifies some things like, maybe we've seen some of those things on YouTube or whatever where it shows their how they make their chicken McNuggets is like this pink ooze that they just squirt out into little circles.
Oh, yeah, that stuff's good with barbecue sauce. Yeah,
right.
Baby.
Well, they're saying that those are not true. They're not really McDonald's pink ooze,
but you know
that
what
they actually use chunks of real chicken, and that the only thing they do is they do add some sort of like foaming agent into their cooking oils.
Because that foaming agent is tasty.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It helps plump the
chicken. But the burgers, though, they don't taste beefy, right? They taste like there's some kind of like filler, like bread or something in there, right? Yeah.
It depends on which ones you get. And there are some, you know, they do use beef with hormones. They admit to that. They say, but, you know, that's legal and it's common practice.
Extendo burgers. They get the meat and they want it to last for more burgers than it normally would, so they add something to it.
Right. Yeah, well, everything they have, they're pulling out of a freezer and leaving on the counter for so long, it's got to have some sort of preservative.
So what you're saying is it rots.
It does, in fact, rot. Yes, it does. And they would claim that the imagery of a burger sitting on a windowsill and not rotting for 2 months, most of those are fake, and in some cases, maybe they put them in airtight jars.
Will it ferment?
Where, in fact, they just can't get any mold on it or anything.
Do you think it'll ferment? Because in some parts of the world, fermented food, like fish and that kind of thing, is...
And what, get you drunk?
All the rage. No, not that kind of... Like, oh. You know.
I only know one kind of ferment.
All right. And by the way, do you know the only U.S. Capital city that does not have a McDonald's?
Helena, Montana.
Helena, well, that's a good guess.
What about, what's Alaska's? Juneau?
Juneau?
I go with Juneau.
Do you know which city is the... it's Montpelier, Vermont. No,
what?
No McDonald's
Well, they're all bougie up there anyway.
Bougie. Not fancy enough for them.
Yeah, they don't, you know, 50-cent hamburger. Oh, my God.
Around with fancy.
I would never.
Walking around with fancy umbrellas, you know, in the snow up there in bougie Vermont. Aaron.
Yeah, they might like these umbrellas up there. There's a Kickstarter campaign, and they're trying to launch the air umbrella, which gets rid of those metal ribs. And instead, they'll use kind of this stick that jets air out, and it holds the umbrella up, apparently. The design comes from China, and so far they've only got $4,000 of the $10,000 raised.
Oh, so there actually is an umbrella. It's not just air repelling the water.
I think so. I'm trying to figure that out. I was looking at pictures. It doesn't explain it very well, but the problem is it will only last for 30 minutes, the battery.
The charge.
So if you're in New York or somewhere like that, people walk around a lot.
Yeah.
You might still get wet.
Get a cab.
Yes. And I guess $108 would be the most expensive version that they'd sell.
All right.
Very high tech.
They need a rain-repelling pea coat for the people walking around.
There we go.
In New York.
I don't know how they're going to compete with the umbrella you just strapped to your head around with you.
I don't
know. Those are the best. One,
yeah. I don't know.
Chris. Mm-hmm.
But if you want a nice pair of bloomers, Jay, where do you go?
Oh, you go to an auction in England, Phil. Get this. British auction house literally just sold Queen Victoria's bloomers for $10,000.
Wow.
What's a bloomer?
Kind of like, think of it as like Renaissance-style underwear.
Yeah, granny panties with ruffles.
Yes, that's pretty much what they are, okay?
Gotcha.
Kicker of the story? I did not know this, but here's a fun fact so you can impress your friends.
Yeah.
Queen Victoria's bloomers had a 52-inch waist.
Oh. That's a big lady.
That's a big lady.
You get a couple people into those bloomers.
Yeah.
It's a party.
Yeah. Like I wear 38s. So imagine.
Bloomers?
20. Matter of fact, Phil, yes.
Wow.
My bloomers are 38s.
Bet you could hide stuff in there, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wait till the drug smugglers figure out you could hide stuff in 38-inch waist bloomers.
Can you imagine this? So a guy's down in France, they tried to smuggle 26,740 ecstasy pills over the border into the Netherlands. They got busted.
Uh-oh.
Street value, $250,000. They said they're gonna do 24 months in prison, $14,000 fine. But here's the kicker. They stored the pills. They tried to come off across the border as a pickle salesman, and they put the pills in pickle cans.
Wait a minute.
Pickle cans.
Pickles don't get...
What?
They sell pickles in cans?
Did you know that?
No, pickles come in jars.
Pickle
jar.
Yeah.
It's like
I've never seen a can of
it's
pickles.
It's a phrase, pickle jar.
This is apparently what tipped off investigators.
Yeah.
Oh, that it was a can.
Pickles don't come in cans.
Knuckleheads.
That's so weird.
Hey, leave us some comments. We have a contact page at philhewlettandfriends.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. Thanks to Mike Stark, our executive producer, Brooke Peterson. For Aaron Myers, Jay Campadonia, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.